5. Mahenge was in the bush country above the coastal lowlands. It consisted in its entirety of 4 trading posts owned by Indian shopkeepers and the German bomber. The German bomber was a large stone building, thatched, set about with wide verandas, over which purple bougainvillea climbed in profusion. Behind it stood the barracks and parade ground of the African Ashkari, and before it a lonely flagpole from which streamed the black, red, and yellow of the empire. A speck in the vastness of the African bush, seat of government for an area the size of France. An area that spread south to the Rovuma River and the border of Portuguese Mozambique, east to the Indian Ocean, and west to the uplands of Sao Hill and Mbeyi. From this stronghold, the German commissioner, Southern Province, wielded the limitless power of a medieval robber baron. One of the Kaiser's arms, or more realistically one of his little fingers, he was answerable only to Governor Shea in Dar es Salaam. But Dar es Salaam was many torturous miles away, and Governor Shea was a busy man, not to be troubled with trivialities. Just as long as the Herr Commissioner Hermann Fleischer collected the taxes, he was free to collect them in his own sweet way. Though very few of the indigenous inhabitants of the southern province would have described Hermann Fleischer's ways as sweet. At the time that the messenger, carrying the news of the British annexation of New Liverpool, trotted up over the last skyline and saw through the acacia thorn trees ahead of him the tiny, clustered buildings of Mahenge, Herr Fleischer was finishing his midday meal. A man of large appetite, his luncheon consisted of approximately 2 pounds of eisbein, as much pickled cabbage, and a dozen potatoes, all swimming in thick gravy. Having aroused his taste buds, he then went on to the sausage. The sausage came by weekly fast runner from Dodoma to the north, and was manufactured by a man of genius, a Westphalian immigrant who made sausages with the taste of the Black Forest in them. The sausage and the Hansa beer cooling in its earthenware jug aroused in Herr Fleischer a delicious nostalgia. He ate not quietly but steadily, and these quantities of food confined within the thick grey corduroy of his tunic and breeches built up a pressure that squeezed the perspiration from his face and neck, forcing him to pause and mop up at regular intervals. When he sighed at last and sagged back into his chair, the leather thongs squeaked a little under him. A bubble of trapped gas found its way up through the sausage and passed into genteel eruption between his lips. Tasting it, he sighed again in happiness and squinted out from the deep shade of the veranda into the flat, shimmering glare of the sunlight. Then he saw the messenger coming. The man reached the steps of the veranda and squatted down in the sun, with his loincloth drawn up modestly between his legs. His body was washed shiny black with sweat, but his legs were powdered with fine dust to the knees, and his chest swelled and subsided as he drank the thin, hot air. His eyes were downcast. He could not look directly at the Bwana Mukuba until his presence was formally acknowledged. Hermann Fleischer watched him broodingly, his mood evaporating, for he had been looking forward to his afternoon siesta, and the messenger had spoiled that. He looked away at the low cloud above the hills in the south and sipped his beer. Then he selected a cheroot from the box before him and lit it. The cheroot burned slowly and evenly, restoring a little of his good humour. He smoked it short before flicking the stub over the veranda wall. "Speak," he grunted, and the messenger lifted his eyes and gasped with wonder and awe at the beauty and dignity of the commissioner's person. Although this was ritual admiration, it never failed to stir a faint pleasure in Herr Fleischer. "I see you, Bwana Mukaba, great lord," and Fleischer inclined his head slightly. "I bring you greetings from Kalani, headman of Batcha on the Rufiji. You are his father, and he crawls on his belly before you. Your hair of yellow, the great fatness of your body, blind him with beauty." Herr Fleischer stirred restlessly in his chair. References to his corpulence, however well-intentioned, always annoyed him. "Speak," he repeated. "Kalani says thus, 10 suns ago, a ship came into the delta of the Rufiji and stopped by the island of the dogs, Hinja. On the island, the men of this ship have built houses, and above the houses they have placed on a dead palm tree the cloth of the Insingesi, which is of blue and white and red, having many crosses within crosses." Herr Fleischer struggled upright in his chair and stared at the messenger. The pink of his complexion slowly became cross-veined with red and purple. "Kalani say also, since their coming, the voices of their guns have never ceased to speak along the Rufiji River, and there has been a great killing of elephants, so that in the noonday the sky is dark with the birds that come for the meat." Herr Fleischer was thrashing about in his chair. Speech was locked in his throat, and his face had swollen, so it threatened to burst like an overripe fruit. "Kalani say further, 2 white men are on the island. One is a man who is very thin and young, and is therefore of no account. The other white man, Kalani, has seen only at a great distance. But by the redness of this man's face and by his bulk, he knows in his heart it is Fini." At the name, Herr Fleischer became articulate, if not coherent. He bellowed like a bull in rut. The messenger winced. Such a bellow from the Bwana Mukuba usually preceded a multiple hanging. "Sergeant!" The next bellow had form, and Herr Fleischer was on his feet, struggling to clinch the buckle of his belt. "Raus!" he roared again. O'Flynn was in German territory again. O'Flynn was stealing German ivory once more, and compounding the insult by flying the Union Jack over the Kaiser's domain. "Sergeant, fair the thunder of God are you?" With incredible speed for a fat man, Herr Fleischer raced down the long length of the veranda. For 3 years now, ever since his arrival in Mehenge, the name of Flynn O'Flynn had been enough to ruin his appetite and produce in him a condition very close to epilepsy. Around the corner of the veranda appeared the sergeant of the Ashkari, and Herr Fleischer braked just in time to avert collision. "A storm patrol!" bellowed the commissioner, blowing a cloud of spittle in his agitation. 20 men, full field packs and 100 pounds of ammunition. We leave in an hour." The sergeant saluted and doubled away across the parade ground. A minute later, a bugle began singing with desperate urgency. Slowly, through the black mists of rage, reason returned to Hermann Fleischer. He stood with shoulders hunched, breathing heavily through his mouth, and mentally digested the full import of Kalani's message. This was not just another of O'Flynn's will-o'-the-wisp forays across the Rovuma from Mozambique. This time he had sailed brazenly into the Rufiji Delta with a full-scale expedition and hoisted the British flag. A queasy sensation, not attributable to the pickled pork, settled on Herr Fleischer's stomach. He knew the makings of an international incident when he saw one. This, perhaps, was the goad that would launch the fatherland on the road to its true destiny. He gulped with excitement. They had flapped that hated flag in the Kaiser's face just once too often. This was history being made, and Hermann Fleischer stood in the center of it. Trembling a little, he hurried into his office and began drafting the report to Governor Shea that might plunge the world into a holocaust from which the German people would rise as the rulers of creation. An hour later, he rode out of the bomber on a white donkey, with his slouch uniform hat set well forward on his head to shield his eyes from the glare. Behind him, his black askari marched with their rifles at the slope. Smart in their pillbox kepis with the back flaps hanging to the shoulder, khaki uniforms freshly pressed, and puttied legs rising and falling in unison, they made as gallant a show as any commander could wish. A day and a half march would bring them to the confluence of the Kilimbero and Rufiji rivers, where the commissioner's steam launch was moored. As the buildings of Mahenge vanished behind him, Herr Fleischer relaxed and let his ample backside conform to the shape of the saddle.